This is December 9, 2023, the first class of Srimad Bhagavatam Saturday class. So we're going to begin the class by discussing shastras, different points of how to understand shastra and how shastras are written. There's different angles of vision and different ways shastras are translated. So get some idea. We're basing our presentation on a handful of books by Sanjarayan Das Babaji Maharaj of Jiva Institute. We're taking quotations from Jiva Tattva, Pearls of Wisdom, and Bhakti Sandarbha 1 and 2. So we'll start with Pearls of Wisdom. He brings out, because when I read all these four books of his, and I noted down where he talked about shastra, I made an outline of all the books for my study and for teaching as I require it. I have all the points outlined, what pages, so it's easy to recover all the information when I want it. So I have one section in the back of my book, because it does have index, I make my own index. So. Well, this book has an index in the front, but I added my own numbers to it. I use his index. He has an index here. I'll show you. It says alphabetical index. You know, Avasiddhanta, Advaita Vedanta, astrology, Atma, avatar. It's a collection of his quotes on it. It's like Sunday satsang. People ask questions, he gives it's perfect questions and perfect answers. Instead of calling it that title, that BBT called Pearls of Wisdom. I mean, it's basically his answers to questions, like Sunday Satsang. Sunday Satsang, I started 2014, I've answered 6,000 questions. So I can make 10 volumes of this. But I don't have time to deal with all that stuff. And this is far superior answers. Very good answers. But I added my own titles where he didn't have a title. As I read it, I said, this paragraph, this point is being made. So he has first entry is Advaita. My first entry is absorption. And like that. He has Advaita Vedanta, animal sacrifice, Avasiddhanta. That's his three titles. I added in my index absorption and Aparad, because I found a couple of quotes. So I want to look up something about, he doesn't have a footnote or index about it, I have one. So my index is more complete than his. That's like all the books are like that. Because I have a different way of seeing things. I also have Ananda in my list, Ananda before that. Then he has Avasiddhanta, and then I have an entry, accepting others. There's two nice quotes about accepting others' viewpoints. So this way, it's not his index, I'm using his index as already written and adding mine in between the lines. All these, he says his index is a nice clean page. This is all my additions. You follow? It's like, look at all my additions to an index. He's got 20 points of index, I got 50, 60. And he had one for Shastra with one page index. I have Shastra, 35 page index. There's 35 entries throughout the book about Shastra. He had one page. He should hire me to make his index. Not going to do it. So let's start. So you got the idea how I take notes? Because that's part of learning. We're here to learn how. Why we're having these classes. It's a class on Bhagavatam. Okay, that's standard Vedic class. But the main thrust of this class is to teach devotees how to think. Not memorize a list of names and chapter titles and verse numbers and all empty external Aishwarya vichar consideration. We're going to teach how to think, how to think clearly, how to draw your own conclusions, and we're going to teach how to translate Sanskrit. You'll be able to read the Sanskrit verses and translate it in your own language after 1 year, I guarantee you, without taking any course on Vyakaran. Sanskrit grammar. I have a technique that's been revealed to me by my Gurudev and Saraswati, which I'm going to share with you. Pretty interesting, huh? I don't know anything about the subjects I'm going to teach, but I have a very powerful Shakti called Kripa working through me. I have Guru Kripa and Saraswati Kripa and Mahajan Kripa. And with that Kripa, I am convinced, we'll see what we can do, but we are convinced that with their power and blessings, we'll be able to accomplish our mission statement. So you stay with me for 1 year, you'll be able to read the Sanskrit verse without looking at the word for word, without looking at the translation, and get a 90% idea of what it means. Because I can do that myself. I mean, of course, I've been studying for 50 years Sanskrit verses, so that's not too blessed either. But this is the culmination of 50 years of studying Bhagavatam religiously and seriously every day. I come up with all these ideas. But first, we want to talk about Shastra. Because if we don't know anything about Shastra, we won't get much benefit from it. We'll get all misconceptions and wrong conclusions from what we read. Because most of our reading and study is done alone, which is not proper. You should sit every day with the Guru and go through one book at a time, verse by verse with the Guru, asking questions. That's what Sadhu Ryan does. He goes once, I teach one book, that's 5 years. It takes him 3 years to teach one Sandarbha. That's the way to do it. He's a professor, he's very learned, great Vaishnava scholar. He's a scholar, famous scholar. He has degrees in Naya and grammar and itihas and so many things. I don't have anywhere near that 100 verse. But I have a keen desire to share my love and understanding of the Bhagavatam. So, you know, we're as they say about COVID, we're in this together. It's not COVID, it's praying bhakti. So we're here to get praying bhakti, which is built on a strong foundation of tattva. The gopis already know the conclusion of tattva is to love and serve Krishna without deception, without envy. So you say, oh, I also love Krishna, but okay, you're loving Krishna, I don't believe it, but just for the sake of accepting the argument, I believe it. But you're not at all free from deception and aparads. And if you think you are, you're never going to get anywhere near praying. Because mostly you have there's a term in psychology called the tendency towards self-delusion. I think I'm better. If you ask her or anybody in the room, how big are you? Oh, I'm this big. You ask anybody who can knows how to measure, you say you're that big, actually, this big. Oh, what? Everyone thinks it's self-deception. They think they're bigger than they are. I think that everyone thinks, don't say, not me. That's a proof you're thinking that you're bigger. Because you're thinking, not me means I'm not bigger as you think I'm bigger than that. So let's go on with page 12, the first one. It's a very interesting statement, so let's try to find out what he's saying. Here's an example of misunderstanding. Mahabharata talks about animal sacrifice. So some smarty fans get some Mahabharata in you know, Russian language or English. You know, Mahabharata, I read the Pandavas were eating meat. I read they did animal slaughter, slaughtering cows. So these Hindus they're saying no animal slaughter. They are all ancient books of history, which is all except as bona fide, say they slaughtered cows. So did they slaughter cows? Did the Pandavas eat meat? So you'll conclude, yes, I read it. But did you read it with a teacher? Did you read it with a guru? No, I didn't. Do you understand the meaning of Sanskrit words? Do you know that the word mamsa, or the word for meat, there's one meaning of the word meat, the other meaning is to touch. Sparsha, mamsa and sparsha. So it says meat, they sacrifice the animal. It means they touch the animal. They had the fire yoga, they touch the animal with a yoga, with kusha grass. They touch the animal and they offer it to a deva, Indra. But the Mahabharata, because the guy who translates is a jerk, I mean, no, excuse me, but he's not very, very learned, doesn't know the context, doesn't know the whole history, understanding of the individuals involved, what's involved. It's many things to translate. So he concludes, and 50 million people read his Hindi edition and English edition, the Pandavas ate meat and they did animal sacrifices. They didn't sacrifice any animals. And this point is brought out by a great scholar, great Gaudiya Vaishnava, Sadhurai Das Babaji. So you know more than him? You can, because you read any book, you read Lakus ones, you'll get all upside down, cracked idea. All Manjis are all the time in the Kunja with Radha Krishna. Hardly ever there, every once in a while. So it's like this. So he says, he tells exactly all the points. It's in this Mahabharata, 14 Parva, chapter, everything, horse sacrifice. He begins to describe the horse sacrifice called, what's it called? Horse sacrifice. Ashwini Kumar. What are Ashwini Kumars? Ashwini Kumars. There are two doctors, heavenly plants, with heads of horses. Ashwini means horse. There's an Ayurvedic medicine that gives you power, called, it gives you horse power. It's called what?
Ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha. Why does it say Ashwagandha? Why is it called Ashwagandha? What does Gandha mean? What does Ashra mean?
Horse.
So what does the medicine smell like?
Horse.
You understand? You don't understand. What does the medicine smell like?
Horse.
Horse. The hair or the backside? We have to investigate. So it says in the same next chapter, and one chapter says offer his horse. Next chapter it says, the agya performed of powdered barley is superior to horse sacrifice. So you make a fire and you throw a horse in it. The horse is burned up dead. It's called horse sacrifice. That's chapter 91. Chapter 92 says, a better yoga than that is make a fire and throw barley. Barley is a grain. Swaha, gehan, or, sesame, whatever. So barley is ancient. All this grain in the history of humanity is barley. It's all in wheat, rice, everything. You look up in Wikipedia. Barley, B-R-L-E-Y, all this grain in human history. It's very healthy also. Yes, she made me some barley soup or something like really well. She really makes healthy food. Anyway, it's good when you have diarrhea also. When you're sick, you take barley soup. So this is the point. Listen closely. Just because something is mentioned in Shastra does not mean that it's a prescription to do something. Hari Bhaktivinoda says this and this and this. Does that mean I'm supposed to do this, this and this? Yes or no?
Depends what the guru
says. Do what the guru said. Hari Bhaktivinoda says 10,000 things. Most gurus follow 10 things. There's 10,000 things, do's and don'ts, in Hari Bhaktivinoda. Most all Gaudiya gurus say, don't follow anything, follow me. May say that. Or which means he'll tell them some things from Hari Bhaktivinoda, or they say follow these 10 things. And I had disciples, they got so smart they went through Hari Bhaktivinoda. I have all volumes on my computer and hard volumes, I have 7 volumes downstairs, or 10 or whatever it is. 14, 15 Vilasas, whatever it is, I got all of them in English. So they said, every week it was coming up, Hari Bhaktivinoda says do this, do we have to do this? I said, look, Jack, don't hit me over the head with Hari Bhaktivinoda anymore. I'm getting a concussion. Hit me on the head with a book 10 times a month. I said, you come here and I'll tell you everything you need to know. Stop harassing me. Hari Bhaktivinoda said, I'm having bad dreams about HBV, There's some kind of HIV, HIV positive, HIV negative. I had HBV negative, HIV means AIDS. HIV positive. You got AIDS. I have ABV. Hari Bhaktivinoda's negative. It's a great book. I follow as much as I can, as much as my guru taught me. But otherwise, I say, I won't touch that. So this is an important point. You can... capital P. Circle. Important point. Just because something is said in Shastra doesn't mean it's gospel truth, it's prescription. Prescription means take this medicine, prescription. You have to take it, otherwise you'll die. Have to follow it, otherwise you'll die. So what do I follow, what I don't follow? How do you know? What are you saying?
What Guru
said. What Guru said, that's correct. Why have a doctor? You just go to the drugstore. Wait, I want all the medicine. I'll take this one tomorrow, this one. You go to the doctor, I got these 20 medicine. You need two. Take the rest back. So I had 20 instructions to everybody else. And you go to Guru, what's my fault? None. Bring 20 tomorrow, 20 more tomorrow. And the third day, he brought 60 points from Hari Baba Yoga. I said, follow that one. I got to get tired. I forget. I'm tired of reading this book. What should I do? Shall I, Krishna, be happy off your food? Good night. Get lost. And this is another important point to apply to all reading of Shastra. We have to take the conclusion of the book as a whole, not extract certain parts which may not be the author's view. This is a common mistake made by readers. I read Prabhupada's book, the book is talking about the necessity of chanting Hare Krishna mantra, right? That's the whole subject of the chapter. It's important chapter. And in that chapter, Prabhupada said, there's no need to live in the holy dham. You can do bhakti anywhere. So some manager or some will find out. Hey, Prabhupada said in chapter 3, teaching the Lord, Queen Kunti, you don't need to live in Holy Dandu. They say, wait a minute, Jack, what's the teaching of chapter 3? Chapter 3 is all about necessity to chant Hare Krishna mantra. It's not talking about Dham Vas or the Mahima of Dham Vas or the good or bad of Dham Vas. So see how complicated Shastra are. I'm just giving you some idea by this class. Had to take the collusion of the whole. Like the Bhagavatam talks about the universe, the fifth canto. It's all upside down. So what is the purpose of Bhagavatam? Is it talk about the universe, structure of the universe, fifth canto, all the astrologers, they argue fifth canto is bogus. That means the whole book is bogus. What's the conclusion of the Bhagavatam? What's the point of the Bhagavatam? Okay. Jayati, what is the purpose of Bhagavatam? What does the author of Vyasa want to teach? With 18,000 verses, what does he want to teach?
To show us what
Prabhupada
is.
I can't hear you.
To show us what
Prabhupada
is.
Give me a Sanskrit term. Yeah, that's one way. So the key point, Uttam Bhakti. Anya vilasita shunya jnana karma jnana vritam anokayena shina. So that verse is talking about what?
What is
Uttam Bhakti? So it tells what is not Uttam Bhakti, karma gyan, what is anokaya, seva, etc. This is not pure bhakti, this is. That's what the verse tells. Anya vilasita shunya. Be devoid of any other desire. That's pure devotee. And be free from karma, astrology. My astrologer said, the stars aren't good for bhakti. I'm supposed to travel in Spain, and Portugal, Italy, Russia for 3 years and come back and do bhakti. Oh yeah, okay, follow your astrologer. That's not good. Follow Tasmat Shastra Pramanam. 16 Chandra Gita, verse 20. 24. This is a common mistake of you and me, Mr. Krishna Das and Ms. Krishna Dasi. We extract some part and say this. Raghunatha Goswami said this. He said one sentence out of the whole book to support your idea, which is, your idea. The book doesn't talk about that at all. That's wrong. That's cheating. That's deception. You're using Das Goswami to propagate your philosophy. His whole book is about this point. You took out another point. That's a big thing in IGM, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said once, he said most of the stuff he didn't even say, but he said once, and then it'd spin a whole topic about it. It's not fair to Prabhupada, but you do it all the time. Anyway, it just goes on like that.
And
The Bhagavatam, because we're talking, going to have a class in the Bhagavatam, has many stories. But we have to understand, this is another important point, you should make this capital P with a circle. You have to understand the intention of one of your duties during class is not to sleep, that's first one. Second one is you're in charge of looking up vocabulary. So on your phone, you have to have an English dictionary open all the time on your phone. I'll say, look up this word, look up that word. The Gita and Shastra, ask him, and Sanskrit to English, I ask you. You have it on your phone? You can search, or you have a dictionary, that's better. You get better, get used to that. Yeah, that's good. You get used to how to navigate, good. This is my backup pundits. The English word or looking up stuff on Google search, they'll be in charge. So everyone knows what intention means? Hello, I'm asking a question. You know intention?
Yes.
His purpose. The purpose of yesterday, his intention, is his intention to teach structure of the universe. People in this kind of argue for 100 years about the fifth canto, right or wrong, try to prove it right. They're wasting all their whole life energy. Bhagavatam has nothing to do with it. Why is the structure of the universe in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Raise your hand first. It's not a circus. You go to a football game, anybody can yell anything anytime. I'll go to hell. Just go like this. What is the purpose of Bhagavatam? Okay, I'll explain. What is the Bhagavatam? What category of Shastra is it? Is it Shruti? Is it Smriti? What is it?
Smriti.
It's Shruti. What's a, that's a general category. What subcategory is it?
It's in Puranas.
That's it. What is the Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is a Purana. So something to be called Purana means it has the characteristic of Purana.
Yeah.
So how many Puranas? There's unlimited Puranas. There's 18 major Puranas. There's 108 Upa Puranas. There's 1,000 Puranas. So every Purana, if you want to call your book a Purana, has to have certain things in it. What are the component parts of a Purana? One is creation. Has to describe creation. Has to try. What is creation or manifestation? Manifestation and pralaya, srishti pralaya. Because it's not creation, because nothing's created. Why is nothing created? Why is the word creation a bogus word in Vedanta?
Because everything is manifested and unmanifested. It's eternal.
Upanishad said correct. Manifest and unmanifest means everything is eternal. All prakriti is eternal. It changes form. It's sometimes a clay pot, sometimes it's dirt. It doesn't stop being clay at any time. It transfers parinamvad, transformation of state. Sometimes it's a gas, sometimes it's a vapor, sometimes it's earth, sometimes it's water. Fire becomes air becomes water becomes earth. Like this, everything transforms. It's called transformation one to other. So time is, Kala is nitya, Prakriti is nitya. The material world is eternal. It wasn't created in 7 days and God took rest on Sunday and went to the beach and swam in his bathing suit. That's Krishna's idea. God worked for 6 days and took Sunday off. He's not working in your office. 6 days work, 7 days work. God doesn't work as hard as you do. So that's the Krishna idea, which is not complete. So every Purana has to create manifestation and unmanifestation, and it has to have about the avatars, about the Manvantar avatars, the Dasa avatars, has to have about Ram, about the major avatars, some story about Ram, Nrisimha, Krishna, every Purana. So there's Nrisimha Purana, there's Vamana Purana, there's Shiva Purana, there's so many Puranas. So Bhagavatam talks about structure of the universe. I forget the Sanskrit term. Virata or whatever. But anyway, he talks about the structure of the universe. And other Puranas have different intentions, different purposes. So the purpose of Bhagavatam is people wasting so much time because the fifth canto, it's probably all wrong and all crazy. The Vyasa is not a nuclear physicist. He's not an astronomer. He's not an astrologer. He doesn't have an electron mic telescope or a radio telescope or anything to see the planets. Yeah, he just sees his eyes. Oh, there's Saturn. There's Eden. What can you say? You didn't have a rocket ship to go there or whatever. They're missing the whole point. It's saying lacks of money to create some picture of the universe and paintings and three-dimensional models. It's all crazy stuff. They should be doing bhajan and realizing they're sitting there and going in the spiritual world, serving Radha Krishna and the Manjari. They're missing, wasting so much vital energy and time. Just arguing and fighting. Some guy comes along pretty smart, gets a pretty smart idea. Close the windows. There are funny windows to close, so make sure you close them right. They turn good to the female part goes to the male part. There's a groove. Yeah, that's pretty good. Thank you. So you're getting some idea what we're talking about. So the Bhagavatam teaches Uttam Bhakti. So you have to keep in mind what is the intention of the author and what is the recommendation, what is he trying to say. The Bhagavad has stories of kings. So many kings are there. King Chitraketu, King Piranjan, King Prithu, and there are many wives. The kings have many wives. So the question is, the Bhagavatam says the kings have many wives, so does that mean the Bhagavatam is preaching polygamy? Frederica, what's your answer?
No, it doesn't mean this.
Why? Why are you saying
because
that?
Because we say that just before that Bhagavatam teaches Uttama Bhakti, so this is the purpose.
That's not a proper answer. You're just repeating that using the same purpose, applying to everything, which has validity, but it's not a very good purva-paksha counter-argument. The Bhagavatam talks about many kings. What is one king?
Chitraketu.
What is the most famous king?
Rama.
Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama Patita Pavana Sita Rama Sita Rama Sita Rama Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama. So when Vyasadeva presents, because he's getting closer, Vridharika said Uttam Bhakti, that's correct. But how much Uttam Bhakti does, where is Chitraketu, King Chitraketu, where is his story found? You never read the Bhagavatam, you don't know. What's he saying? Anybody know it?
Sixth canto.
So there's a story in fourth canto about a prince. His father was a king. Mm. Uttanapada was a king. Who is his son?
Dhruva.
So as you hear the story, every Purana talks about kings. As you hear the story of the kings, as they develop through different canons, each king shows more and more Uttam Bhakti. Mm-hmm. The seventh canto has a king. He became king when his father was bumped off. Seventh canto, that's fourth canto. I said seventh canto describes a guy who became king when his father got bumped off. That's ninth canto.
Oh, Prahlad Maharaj.
I tricked you. What did I say? This guy became a king when his father got bumped off. Who is his father? Was he a king?
Yeah.
Ma king. A Raja Rishi. Why I call him Rishi?
Because he was like the emperor of the universe.
That's why he's called Raj.
Because he was very, very learned.
Rishi does tapasya, doesn't control universe. Well, he does with mystic cities. But Rishi is not being in charge of messing around controlling anything, except his senses. That's the hard thing to control. So he was a Rajarshi, he was a king, and he was a great tapasvi. He sat there and let the ants eat his up his body for hundreds of us, you know, so long. Got so much tava. So he was killed by Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad became a king. And Prahlad was very close to Uttama Bhakti. He's considered Gamesha Bhakti or something like that, very developed. So every Puran talks about kings, but the speciality, because the other kings don't bring out the point of it. The other Puranas talk about kings, but they don't bring out the point of Uttama Bhakti. But woven through the Bhagavatam, this is the expertise of Vyasadeva, empowered by his guru Narada Muni, woven throughout the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva has checked the purpose of the Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, Parama Nirmatsarana Sattam. He's coming to teach pure, highest Dharma, highest, pure, purest form of Dharma is Prem Dharma. Prem Dharma is Gopi Bhav, Radha Krishna Prem Dharma, Prem Bhav. So as he's telling us, because so many Puranas are there, and they tell all about kings, so that's one of the characters to be a Purana. But they just tell he did this and that, and this and that. But if you read probably Bhagavatam, you see how Vyasadeva was describing the devotion of each of these kings. What was Dhruva Maharaj's devotion compared to Shri Ketu in 6th canto, and 7th canto of Prahlad Maharaj, and 9th canto of Yayati, and the devotion is increasing. Then you get to the 9th canto, so he's the ultimate king.
Ramchandra,
Ambarish Maharaj. First, let me back up, see how much smart brain you're thinking. Who, what, when, where, why? Who are we talking about? What concept are we talking about? That's floating. That's a floating. That's a floating concept. It'll be everywhere we're talking about Bhagavatam, we'll say Uttama Bhakti. So don't use that. She tried to get pulled that one up. Wait, what's she saying?
Why kings have many...
This is the point. She's a little funny, but she's real smart. She got a very smart brain. Everybody appreciates that. She got a very good brain. She's actually a nice devotee. I like her more and more as it goes, time goes on. You made all the sweets. I thought Sunny Priya made them. I'm so confused. Did you make them? She made all these sweets, like three Timbits, three different kinds of sweets, all really nice sesame sweets. I said, these are too good. Must be by her. Because she all gets sweets also. Because I don't know, hard enough to fix up a Timbit at the gate, and they're in my kitchen. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I do a food. Oh, hard enough to got sweets. Okay, good. There's my breakfast. So I offered her, and then Manisha and two sons came, and they left, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya came with his wife and son from Bombay. So six guys came and went, and I didn't, it was like, you know, it was 12:30, it was, you know, getting crazy time for it. And she came in with a tibbin, the guys were still here, three guys. It was a big scene today, you know, auspicious day, I don't know. So all your sweets are gone, but there's three left. So you eat all three of those, it's all Mahaprasad. But they're really good sweets. They went to all kinds of Brahmins and Vaishyas, and six people, like, enjoyed like anything. I gave her all the credit. What can I say? Hey, poor kid. Yeah, she, what we're talking about is polygamy. The Bhagavatam preaches polygamy, all these stories of the king. So therefore, I'm tired of this. I'm taking two or three wives. Bhagavatam says. Is that what the Bhagavatam teaching? No, the Bhagavatam teaching, be like King Ram. Who followed what? The girls know, this is the only sloka women know in all Bhagavatam. Women can quote one sloka from the Bhagavatam. Husbands follow eight putty brother, remember that. Yeah, Bhagavatam also says, yeah, my to not agree with me, he's going to be too chum. Goodbye. I'll follow the Bhagavatam. It takes a yard of 50 years old. Anyway, so that's a nice point to keep in mind. Okay, where's my notebook here? It's going. I think the whole class will be this stuff. Anyway, it's good foundation, because we were always reading Shastra for so many years, we don't know what we're doing. So these are very good points to take off from. It gets me in the right direction, and I've added a lot of stuff also. There's a verse in the, what book is it in? It quotes two verses here. This is another confusing point. From Bhavishyotra Purana, which is quoted in Hari Bhaktivilas. So you live in Vaikuntha, you can travel around your flower airplane and enjoy happiness for millions of years. When your punya karma exhausts, you'll come back to earth. So somebody say, what is this? It means you go to Vaikuntha and come back. It means you fall from Vaikuntha. Yeah, you fall from Vaikuntha. But not Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha in the material world. And the Vaikuntha that you attain by punya karma is not the same Vaikuntha you attain by bhakti. Because in bhakti, there's a type of mukti, which is nitya. The mukti and bhakti bhajan is nitya. It comes in five forms. One is slokya mukti, sharsi mukti, srimipya mukti, and sarupya mukti. No, that's not for bhaktas.
No, not for bhaktas.
There's four types of mukti for Vaishnavas, fifth one for Advaitins. I'm talking about Vaikuntha mukti. So this Vaikuntha mukti, and bhakti bhajan takes your spiritual world beyond the coverings of the material universe. But the Mahavaikuntha is in the material universe, not on this side of Karna Samudra. Everyone's listening? A very important point. You're all confused, growing cracked. You don't listen properly. There's two Vaikunthas. One's eternal situated in an eternal spiritual sphere, Paravyom atmosphere. One is situated in the Maya Jagat. It's called Mahavaikuntha, everywhere in Shastra. You don't know, you just haven't read very clearly. It's in Bhagavatam also. So this Bhavishyotra Purana, another Purana, talks about all planetary systems, all Manvantaris, all Brahmas, all that same, every Purana. It says you go to Vaikuntha material world, stay your millions here, then come back. So why do Puranas talk about this stuff? There's many verses in Puranas that are presented to attract people to engage in bhakti. You do this, you do some bhakti bhajan, some punya, good deeds, you go to Vaikuntha and enjoy. Oh yeah, I want to go back to God and enjoy. Because there's different types of sages in Shastra which gives Siddhanta, and some are used to inspire people to follow Siddhanta. So some of the statements of Shastra are giving Siddhanta, the absolute perfect truth, and some are just inspiring you to follow Siddhanta. You see how complicated Shastra are. You should read the following two verses from Hari Bhagavad, which say that birth after birth, he permanently returns to Vaikuntha. So these guys go to Vaikuntha and fall from Vaikuntha. So when you say yes, they fall from Vaikuntha, that's true. But but the implication is, the intention of those statements in IGM, that you fall from the spiritual world, and that's impossible. Once going there, you never come back. There's hundreds of, there's six verses alone, and the Bhagavatam say, Punarjama and Avijjate, age 6 and 13, 14, and 15, and 8, 6, and 8, 3, there are many verses described. Once you go to the spiritual world, you don't come back, never. And there's some statements by popular acharyas of big missions. They ask them, when you go to the spiritual world, do you have any memory of the material world? There's a chance you may use your independence to come back. And then the guru's big acharya said, yes, you have independence. So you may show your independence, the desire to come back. Is that true or false?
False.
It's totally false. Why is it false?
Because we don't have any material impressions.
Because where is all material experience stored, and where are all memories stored?
Asuddha chinta. It is not impure consciousness.
I'll ask you a question, I'm not getting the answer. What do you say? Chitta. What is chitta? You're all smart. You're good. Got another pot in here. way, planet? Okay. Planet genie. Planet G and planet genie. So all memories are stored in Chitta. What happens when you leave the body and go to the spiritual world? What happens in Chitta? It's finished. It's part of the material body. And the Atma doesn't have any Chitta. Chitta interacts with the material body through the Chitta and through nine operating principles. The Atma interacts with the material body. What are the nine principles? Earth, water, fire, ether, that's fine. It's called Sukshma Shriya. Then there's Linga Shriya. Man, Buddhi, Hankar. Man, Buddhi, Hankar, Chitta. Four and five is nine. There's nine coverings. Gita says there's eight coverings. They list man as one, but man is two. There's conscious mind and subconscious mind. Subconscious mind is also called chitta. C-H-I-T-T-A. Not C-H-I-T. Chitta means consciousness. Chitta means subconscious mind, where all samskaras are stored, all karmas are stored. Four stages of karma. Kutam, Bijam, Avarodha, Parobdha. Sometimes called Sanchit karma.
Sanchit karma, Kriyamana karma.
Yeah, I forgot. I think there's only two divisions. Sanchit karma, Kriyamana karma. The psychology, and this is Vedanta. This is truth. If you learn to study Bhagavatam and Gopal Tavya Upanishad and Isha Upanishad, you'll know all these things. Right? Right. These guys know. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Okay, let's see. We're getting ready. Let me have 50,000 more entries here. I like this, so I'm sorry. I can't read it. 30-31. Good light, 200 watt bulbs. Watch out. That's good, you have to be enlightened now. Thomas E. Mom, Joe Tirgama. This is literal. Hey, go in the Hey, go, Paul Keshe, Mahadina, now. What is knowledge? No knowledge, either spiritual knowledge or material knowledge, is impressed in the Atman. The only thing that is able, this is a very interesting point, the only thing that is able to penetrate the Atman is bhakti at the stage of bhava. Because what happens at the stage of bhava, your Atman gets transformed. It gets transformed. The Atman is made of what? The Atman is made of Tattva Shakti. Krishna's body, Krishna's reality is made of Srupa Shakti. There's Jiva Shakti, and you can say Tattva Shakti or Jiva Shakti. But Jiva Shakti implies material living. Jiva means alive. Tattva means it's weak potency. That's what it means. So, but the Atman is a transcendental unit of consciousness that's all described by Real Truth About the Jiva of a series. It's on the SoundCloud. It was called Clear Truth. Clear Truth About Jiva. All knowledge remains outside and stored in the chitta. A vritti means a thought wave, leaves a samskara impression in the chitta, subconscious mind, and that becomes the source of memory. So all memories in the chitta, when you die, if you die and liberate, there's no more chitta. If you die and take rebirth, your chitta goes with you. Your soul body goes with the Atma. You're taking rebirth. Mind, intelligence, and chitta, hankar, they join with the Atma, and go to Mahavishnu, and when it's time for next manifestation, you come out and get a body, and come to the material world, and live with the same old mind, same old second priya. Oh, here we go again. Seems familiar. I was like making jokes last life, making jokes in this life. Oh, it's 4:15.
kitchen kaam karte the log khulware
the baad mein chore kaam 10 minutes 10 minutes kaam I'm going to get up and go down and knock the door? Unlikely. Hey, it's 10 minutes come. 10 minutes work. Kitchen. You know, I just smoke or go to sleep. Two choices. Hey, that's not all the point. I don't know why I said that. But that was the next page, which wasn't on my notes. Okay, can I have some water?
That's
if you look at our Facebook, there's a movie from 2012, me giving Rossella class on my Facebook 2 days ago.
You can see it. Wow, Radhaji.
Huh?
You sent a message, wow, Radhaji, a Mahanidhi is discovered hidden in a hyperspace for 12 years.
I don't know, sometimes I send a message to the wrong person.
But about that class, is that?
Yeah,
I taught Rasleela. I started in 2012. Was on Sadhana TV. 150 million people were seeing every day. 2 hour class, one in the morning, one in the evening, for 1 month. And so we got the CDs of all the classes. And some guy said, converts to MP3 because high density movie film. So I gave it to somebody, I don't remember who, and I never got them back. So all the classes were lost. 60 hours of katha. For the first 7 days, I just described who is Krishna. Then, and after 3 days, I covered 12 verses of chapter 29. 60 hours, 12 verses. I had so many notebooks, I was just going, I was surprised how fast I talked and how clearly. I looked pretty cool too. Big 4 months fear, you know. 3 months, it was adikmas, you know. Look real thin. The three guys really sitting straight. I really look good. It was 2012 years ago. So I was, I'm 73 now, 61. Okay, ancient history. Well, that's about why he wrote all that. Why Vyasa didn't write just the Bhagavatam. He wrote so many Puranas. He says to keep people from becoming atheists. These are gifts and some shastra to hang on and worship in the mode of passion, ignorance, whatever. Engage people in worship by giving all different puranas. Because they're not ready for Uttam Bhakti, but they want to have some connection with higher forces or powers, maybe not Bhagavan, Ram, or Krishna, or Vishnu. Otherwise, if there weren't any shastras to guide them how to get their desire fulfilled, karmakanda, and sriti shastra, dharma shastra, then all people become atheists. So to prevent people from becoming atheists, Vyasadeva wrote so many puranas. Because that argument is that this is utmost knowledge, this is Vedanta, this is Bhagavatam, Jesus Christ is Vedanta. Why didn't you just publish one book of Vedanta? Vyasadeva wrote a lot of stuff. Vedanta Vedavideva Shaham, they wrote so many books. So that's why. Open the window, please. It's too hot in here. But these guys aren't singing, it's not so loud. It's like, you know, Bhangri Hari Darshan. Oh, wow, oh, wow. Close the curtains, there we go. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So he's Kata. Radhakund's the place of Kata. So he's Kirtan, Bhagavad Sapta, Ram Kata. It's really great. Please understand that Shastra has to be interpreted according to context. If you take verses out of context, then try to understand them, you'll end up in confusion. In other words, context means the chapter has 50 verses, you take one verse out and try to build a whole palace in one verse. You have to consider the whole chapter, what is he trying to say? Taking out context, you take one verse which supports your argument. It says, Bhagavatam Chapter 3 says, people do that all the time. It's called deception and cheating. It's called Ardha Kukata Nyaya. Have a chicken philosophy. You take the eggs out of the backside, we don't put any food on the front side. That's the half-baked philosophy. Shastra has its own way of explaining things. Not everything has to be taken as primary sense. This is a very interesting point. There's a specific adhikari for a specific shastra. What does that mean?
A proper student is
A proper qualification is required for the reader or student for each shastra. If you're going to read a shastra about astrology and astronomy, how are you going to understand it if you don't have any background of science and astrology? You won't understand it. You're going to read it. There's a vague shastra about surgery, about medicine, Ayurveda. You don't understand you don't have to understand the basics of Ayurveda. You won't understand what it's saying. That's what he's saying. If you desire to be Krishna Bhakti, then you read books related to
Krishna
Bhakti. First become fixed in your path, then read other books like Ramayana. But the case of Taban Mishra, he said all kinds of books and became confused by the sadhana and said, and that verse is there spoken by Dorsi Chaitanya Taban Mishra in Adivida chapter 16. Verse 18. Bhava Shastre Bhava Vakya Chitete Kuriya Brahma. Brahm means, I think it's 8 through 16, I forget which verse. But the verse starts off with Bahu Bhava Shastre, Sastre. Bhavavakya, Vakya. If you read many books and hear many people's opinions, oh, Babaji said this, she does this all the time. This lady, Widow's Ashram, said this. This other lady said this. Maharaj, what do I do? I said, don't listen to all these jerks. Let your jerks be your guru. Your wife is the best cook in the world, so why do you have to go to McDonald's to get lunch, Why do you call pizza out for dinner? Your wife's the best cook in the world. So you have a guru, you don't tell your guru if he doesn't know anything, why take him to begin with? You should believe your guru is Christian representative, he has all the wisdom I need. I agree to hear from my guru, follow my guru, that's where I get success. But everybody's your guru, everybody's your master, means you have no guru and no master. Many people like that nowadays. Everybody, I have one dish group. I have 10 million shish groups. My guru, they said, one dish group, one shish group, same. He's on your dish group, on your shish group. I was saying he's pretty puffed up. He's pretty proud. But then I realized, it's good. He was a pondered associate. So, maybe you don't have a fortune. Maybe you do, that's up to you. Figure that out. But the successful way is not Bhava Shastra. I read this book, everybody got confused. Man. I'm just going to leave it. Maybe I have a pen I can borrow. Thank you. I'm going to leave it there and start with the other class. Where's those sheets? Hand out those sheets. Everybody gets two sheets. Now let's start, start a new file, Sukhi. Start a new video.